when it comes to the Irish migrating to Wisconsin, how did they end up finding out about Wisconsin? Was it just basically something that they found out about along the way, or did many end up coming with the intention of heading to this part of the world?
It's a great question. It sort of depends on when we're talking about. So the first Irish who get here are coming in the 1830s. The big push is the late 1840s and after. That should be no surprise, because in Ireland in the mid-1840s, you had a massive famine that affected the primary crop that about two-thirds of the people depended on for their daily diet. That's the potato. And over the stretch of five seasons, the crop was mostly or partly destroyed, which also meant the seed for the next year was decreased. So essentially you had in the span of 10 years between about 1845 and 1855, roughly a quarter of the population, more than 8 million people, so more than 2 million of them dying or emigrating. And that began a cycle of significant emigration that lasted throughout the rest of the 1800s. Specific to Wisconsin, one of the things you see is that a lot of the people who came here actually had settled briefly on the East Coast of the U.S. before moving here. People who've studied the Irish in Wisconsin, like David Holmes, for example, have pointed out that people usually spent somewhere between 5 and 7 years other places before coming here. But interestingly, there were people in Milwaukee who had what, for lack of a better word, it'd be an emigration agency, essentially advertising, hey, look at the land and the jobs in Wisconsin. So, you know, you see sort of advertisements into the East Coast, not so much in Ireland itself. There were other emigration agents encouraging people to move to North America, either Canada or the U.S. They tended to focus on the East Coast. And then we were like the next stop, if you will, west.
Okay, we have the Irish settling in Wisconsin, and the Irish have been here, as you have mentioned, for over 180 years, if my math serves me correct, and often it doesn't. How have the Irish influenced culture or contributed to Wisconsin culture over that nearly 200 years?
A lot of different ways, some you might not expect. In the state, you had areas like Mineral Point, where you had Irish miners involved in the mining industry. In places like the east and the southeast of the state, farming, you know, one of the most famous Irish, sort of first generation Irishmen, was a guy by the name of Jeremiah Curtin, who grew up near what is today Greendale, Wisconsin. And Curtin's family owned a farm. You know, he grew up on this farm. His parents had been, you know, one of these families that moved from the east. I think his mother was originally from Vermont, or first had settled in Vermont and then ended up out here. Curtin went on to be educated at Harvard. He was the American diplomat sent by Abraham Lincoln to Russia in the 1860s and became one of the great linguists and folklorists of the 1800s. All of his papers, actually, a lot of his old notes, are in the Milwaukee County Historical Society, and the farm is a tourist attraction owned by the Historical Society, well worth a visit. Politically and socially, the Irish have really been a factor in this state. You look at places like the Third Ward, which in the 19th century was very much an Irish neighborhood in the Milwaukee area. When the Irish moved out of there, and there are reasons for their moving out, the next group of immigrants to move in, the Italians came in numbers. And that area of Milwaukee is still often sort of associated with its Italian heritage. But you look at one of the great landmarks in the Milwaukee area is the Hone Bridge, named after Daniel Hone, who was an Irish mayor of Milwaukee for something like 24 years in the early 1900s. Carry it right up to the present day, where we have business people of Irish descent and cultural entities, including Celtic MKE, which is, you know, the sponsor of our Irish festival, Irish Fest here in Milwaukee, which is the largest music festival, Irish music festival in the world. So, you know, right down to the present day, the Irish have really kind of put their stamp on this state. It's something that I think not as many people who focus on, you know, Boston, New York, and Chicago might recognize.
You mentioned about the Third Ward. You mentioned about Milwaukee. Is it basically most of the history involved, like in the urban areas in Wisconsin, or is there a little spread into rural areas? Because you did mention Mineral Point.
Sure. There definitely is spread into rural areas. This is where my own focus in terms of research. My own work is primarily on Ireland and the Irish in the British Empire. But being based in Milwaukee, I'm often asked to speak about Milwaukee. So I'm much more familiar with Milwaukee history than I am with the rest of the state. But I mean, like, if you look at 1850, at that point, there were already more than 21,000 Irish people who had settled in the state of Wisconsin, and only about 20% of them were in Milwaukee. So 80% of them are elsewhere. A lot of communities around the state, and as I say, farming, dairy, a major employer for Irish people in the 19th century. But it's also interesting because, and colleagues of mine who are in Illinois were talking with me about this recently, they had to learn a new kind of farming when they got here. American farms tended to be bigger than what they had known back home. Many Irish people who had experience working farms in Ireland worked as tenant farmers on larger estates where they had assignments, as opposed to being the owner managing the budget. And they might be responsible for a budget on a plot of land that grew food for their family that was anywhere from a quarter acre to maybe, you know, on a grand scale up to 4 or 5 acres. And here they'd be managing 100 acres or 200 acres and had to use different equipment as opposed to hand spades. They might have to be engaged in a type of planting of different crops than they were used to as well. So there was a lot of adaptation in those first couple of generations.
One thing you mentioned after the Irish exit the Third Ward, you mentioned the Italians moved in. Now, here are a couple of groups that ended up running into quite a few obstacles when it came to acceptance in this country. And I'm sure that it happened here when it comes to the Irish in Wisconsin as well.
Absolutely. There was a lot of, and I mean, you can look at this again across the U.S. For both Italians and Irish, particularly in that period after 1850. Okay, there was a lot of anti-Catholic sentiment. Groups like the Know Nothing Party, for example, which was explicitly anti-Catholic and anti-immigrant, targeted them. You see this reoccur as well right up into the 20th century, when groups like the Ku Klux Klan focused on Irish migration. And actually in Waukesha, Wisconsin, in the early 1920s, there was to be a Klan rally, and local Irish people who were members of a group called the Ancient Order of Hibernians actually went out to Waukesha to confront them. So this was a big part of what immigrant groups did in the past and continues to down to our own time, of course, is to stake out a place in American society. And, you know, this is one reason why events like St. Patrick's Day parades and that kind of thing became very important in the 19th and early 20th centuries, is essentially saying, look, we're good Americans, but we also have this heritage. So, you know, in some ways, it was an echo of what was already happening with things like the 4th of July, but with an Irish spin on it.
Timothy McMahon, Associate Professor, Modern Irish and British Empire History at Marquette University. Professor, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.